Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The subject of the grace of Christ is familiar to many, but it's unknown by most. And there's much confusion that exists about it because there's so much false teaching concerning it. Friend, grace is defined as favor. Yes, it's an unmerited favor, but it denotes the attitude and action of God on behalf of man that man could never earn or do something for himself. God has done something for man that he could not otherwise accomplish. Mankind is the recipient of what is beyond his own ability to produce by himself. He has blessings and benefits, both in the physical and spiritual realm, that come from God. Now, the grace under consideration is God's grace that saves man from the wages of sin. And the need for this grace is evident inasmuch as man does sin, and sin destroys. Man cannot save himself by himself, therefore man must have a Savior. And God has provided a Savior, and the one he provided is his only begotten Son. It is in the Scriptures that we learn of this Savior and the way to be saved. That we are saved by grace is an emphatic truth of the New Testament. Ephesians 2, 5, 8, 9, Romans 3, 24. Friend, without the grace of God, without the grace that Christ manifested, we could just end our discussion about man's salvation right here. But we rejoice in the declaration, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, there is an antagonism between grace and sin, with grace being far superior. Romans 5:12 teaches how sin came into the world through Adam. And by one man sin entered the world, the book says. All the briars and thistles and thorns and sickness and pain and sorrow and death and jealousy and hatred, that's all due to man's transgression of the will of God. And none have escaped the guilt of sin, Romans 3:23. That is, except Christ, who was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Yet God's grace, extended through Christ, is superior to sin. It covers sin, it removes sin, and the guilt of sin. Romans 5:20, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now it is through grace that we lost access, through sin that we lost access to the tree of life. It's through the grace of God that we have entrance into that eternal city where the tree of life exists. Through sin, man dies spiritually. Through Christ, men live spiritually. Through sin, man loses his physical body. It's through Christ that we receive an incorruptible spiritual body. Through sin, we are spiritually lost. It's through Christ that we are saved. And there is no sin that the grace of God through Christ cannot cover and blot out forever, provided the conditions of forgiveness are met on the behalf of man. Now, how sad that some teach as to pervert the grace of God. And they do this by contending that we're saved by grace alone. I want to challenge all who teach that and all who believe that to present the passage of Scripture that teaches that. Yes, we're saved by the grace of God. It is never taught in Scripture, however, that we're saved by grace alone any more than it's taught in Scripture we're saved by faith alone. And those who teach those things ought to be ashamed to continue to teach them until they find one passage of Scripture that teaches it. Yes, we're saved by grace, we're saved by faith. For 70 years I have been asking those who teach that, where's the passage of Scripture that teaches that? And of course they don't produce it because it simply does not exist. Now, if salvation were by grace alone, all would be saved, because the grace of God has appeared to all men, Titus 2:11. By God's grace, Christ tasted of death for every man, Hebrews 2:9. And so if anyone was lost, it would be God's fault, not man's fault. If salvation is by grace alone, man would not be responsible for his spiritual destiny. God would be responsible altogether. And if any were saved, why God would be a respecter of persons, which both Peter and Paul deny. The judgment would be a farce, since man could do nothing about his condition anyway. If salvation was by grace alone and some are lost, would not this say that God's grace is not sufficient to save? Even though we've already read how that grace covers sin, it's superior to sin. Where sin exists, grace abounds all the more. Now, the all-sufficiency of the grace of Christ means that there is nothing about it that's inadequate. It is fully supplied. It meets the needs of the situation. It does everything that God intends for it to accomplish. Now, there are some things that grace is not intended to accomplish. It won't cover sins without repentance. No sin is forgiven without obedience. Now, some trash obedience as they falsely teach salvation by grace alone. This is one of the jarring errors of the liberal elements of the world that divide religious people. When we speak of the all-sufficiency of the grace of God, we're not saying that grace is the only element included in God's system of salvation. Grace is all-sufficient, however, in that it will accomplish what God designed it to accomplish. It is as God said, or Christ said to the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Now the Lord told Paul, when he prayed to remove his thorn in the flesh, that his grace was adequate. Paul was promised the adequacy of God's provisions for him, enough for him to be strong and to overcome his adversaries and to have the ability to do his work. God's grace is sufficient to cover all our sins when appropriated correctly. Now, grace is an element in God's plan of salvation. And I resent the charge that some heretics make sometimes against faithful preachers. Those of the past, they say they didn't preach God's grace. Friend, that's not so. I don't know why some feel they have to lie and misrepresent other people of the past in order to promote their agenda. It is not evident that they do not know that of which they speak. God has manifested his grace through Christ. Faithful gospel preachers have taught that since the very beginning on the day of Pentecost. We cannot separate Christ from the grace of God, however. Without Christ, there's no system of salvation, and therefore we conclude the grace of Christ is sufficient to save all when it is appropriated correctly. Now, we're aware that some scoff at the notion of God's part in our salvation. Well, scoff as they may, that doesn't change anything. God has a part, the leading part, in our salvation, but man also has a part. The system of salvation includes God sending his Son, his dying on the cross. This is the work of deity. The system includes the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. This is the work of deity. The system includes God's mercy and his love for man. This is God's part in his provision for our salvation, friend. But there is more to being saved than what deity has provided. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Again, Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Friend, we must obey what the Lord has commanded. The Apostle Peter told those on Pentecost to save themselves from this crooked generation. He didn't mean they could save themselves by themselves. He was simply encouraging them, "Now God has done his part. It's time now for you to do your part." There is the necessity of man's faith, John 8 and verse 24. And there are the works of obedience that he must follow. And those works of obedience, they're not works of merit. They're not works of which man can boast. They're not the works of the Mosaic law. Some seem to have the attitude that when you obey the command of God, you're trying to work your way to heaven. Friend, that's not so. God has provided these things by which man reaches the benefits that are extended to him through God's favor, God's grace. God's system of grace includes law. Law God has provided. Now, there's no conflict between law and grace. There's the law of God, the law of faith, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the perfect law of liberty, the law of Christ. There's law in the salvation system, and this law demands obedience. If we do not obey, we will not be saved. Now, shall we just assume that the necessity of obedience is optional? Can we assume that we'll be saved whether we obey or not? Now, we're delivered from the law of Moses, but we're not delivered from all law. The grace of Christ does not deliver us from all law. We're delivered from the law of sin and death, but not all law. We're delivered from the law of Moses, but not all law. You see, there are different kinds of law, and we must remember that one element in God's system separated from the others will not produce salvation. Just like there are many things that enable you to live. You must have air to breathe, water to drink, food to eat. Do you do without one, you will die, regardless of how plentiful the other might be. It takes all that is necessary. In Galatians chapter 2, we learn how we can frustrate the grace of God, and some Galatian Christians were doing that very same thing. Salvation, you see, is God's gift to man, Romans 6:23. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And because salvation is by grace, it is a gift. It's not earned, it's not merited, it's not deserved, but every gift has a giver. And every gift has a receiver. Man receives God's gift by meeting God's conditions of salvation. We in no way earn that gift, even when we're obedient. But no faithful brother is ever taught that we can earn our salvation. Man that rejects the grace of God is not meeting God's conditions. You know, God gave the city of Jericho to the Israelites. It was a gift. He gave it to them. But they had to follow his plan. They had to do what he told them to do in order to get that gift. But it's a glorious thought. We can be saved. How glorious is the truth that God's grace is offered and it extended to all. Salvation, therefore, is open to whosoever will. We're saved because we need salvation. Christ tasted of death for every man. He forgives the sins of the whole world. All will be saved the same way, but one must meet the conditions that God has given. He must believe in Christ as the Son of God. He must repent of his sins. That's what Jesus taught. We must confess our faith in Christ and be buried in water for the remission of sins when we are baptized into Christ, for that's when we reach his saving blood. When you seriously consider man in his lost condition and the glory and the majesty of God, it's a wonder that God even offers to have fellowship with man. But by his grace through Jesus Christ, this bounty can be ours. Dear friend, one and all, we need to appreciate what God has done, but we need to realize how we partake of the benefits that God has offered. We either do the will of God or we'll be lost. Christ is the author of salvation to them that obey him. Saved by grace? Yes. Saved by grace alone? Never is that taught. And we should not teach it, and we should not believe it. We must obey as well as believe in the grace of God. We're glad that you listened to A Burning Fire today, and we hope that you'll continue to listen. A Burning Fire, your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.